If you spend much time outdoors, you likely notice the weather, you notice the plants, the trees, and you notice the animals that are around. Our avian friends are a special concern to the Columbia Audubon Society, and on this evening's Thinking Out Loud, we've got two members of that group in studio to talk about the results from the recent Christmas bird count that was conducted just about 2 weeks ago here in Columbia. Also on the program this evening, it's lessons learned from years of gardening. We'll hear from the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture's farm manager, Carrie Hargrove. She's back with a regular segment on the show, Farm Your Yard. My name is Trevor Harris. I'm so glad you could join me this evening for Thinking Out Loud. That's coming up next on KDIA.
If you can imagine, many years ago on New Year's Eve, people used to go out and shoot birds, just shoot birds to celebrate the new year. Well, at some point, there were people that decided, well, that doesn't make any sense, and that there is a value to birds, and rather than going out and shooting them, why don't we go out and count them? And so that's what people started doing, and it got to be called the Christmas bird count. So now, every year since, people have gotten together, and between, I think it's the middle of December to the first week in January, people will go out and count birds. And they count the same area every year. So here in Columbia, we count an area that has a diameter, a circle of about 25 miles, and it's centered at Rockbridge Elementary School. And we've been birding that area since about the 1960s.
And that's Bill Meese. He's a past president of the Columbia Audubon Society and was a participant in last month's Christmas bird count. Here's Allison Bond, also with the Columbia Audubon Society, with a little history on the tradition that's now over 115 years old.
The Christmas bird count is actually a national event that's sponsored by the National Audubon Society. And so the Audubon Society has gathered data from all over the country, and so we can actually track trends in wintering birds, and there was a recent analysis actually in the Christmas Bird Count issue of the Audubon magazine, which is a great publication, about climate change, and what the Christmas Bird Count is showing us that climate change impacts on wintering birds, and also other factors, you know, fragmentation and all these other threats that people are familiar with for birds. But the Christmas bird count kind of serves as a citizen science project. Just last week, there was one up in North Missouri around Squaw Creek, Swan Lake, I think was last week. And so all of these, you know, all of these different Audubon chapters get together. And a lot of people who actually participate in the Christmas bird count are not necessarily Audubon chapter members. They're just bird enthusiasts. And because wintering birds, there's only a finite amount of birds you'll see during the winter, in Missouri at least, it's an easier bird count to participate in than, for example, the North American migratory bird count, where you have birds that a lot of people will not see except for 2 weeks out of the year. So they're, anyway, so it's a very good citizen science, all-inclusive activity.
You're listening to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. If you've ever wondered, what's that bird in my neighborhood? Well, then this week's show is especially for you. My name is Trevor Harris, and on this week's program, we're talking with Allison Vaughn, you just heard from her, and Bill Meese. They're both active with the Columbia Audubon Society and participated in last month's annual Christmas bird count. They and Douglas Miller just finished tabulating the results from the count. Here, Allison details what counters saw and what they missed.
We carve up the entire Boone County into different units. And so Section 5, for example, is almost 90% of Eagle Bluffs in the Katy Trail. So they always have an exorbitant amount of species, usually the most. And people who work Area 5 are very possessive of Area 5, and they really enjoy being in Area 5 because of all the birds. Area 5, for example, every year they have high numbers of screech owls that are found along the Katy Trail. The Christmas bird count is not just a day event. It also goes into the early morning and into the evening so that we can count owls. And One year there were 45 owls documented from the Katy Trail, just that section that was near Eagle Bluffs. And this year, Eagle Bluffs, they had 42 trumpeter swans. So, you know, there are certain areas that are better habitat than other areas, for example. I know Bill's area doesn't have too much natural space. And in a lot of those areas where you're looking at developments and homes and things like that, it's a lot of times we'll get permission to watch people's bird feeders. And so we count those birds too. So it's not really based on habitat. It's based on just kind of a geographic region that makes sense.
Yeah, we continue to cover the same geography each year.
Again, that's Bill Meese. He's a past president of the Columbia Audubon Society and was a participant in last month's Christmas bird count held here in Columbia.
What we'd like to do is cover it completely, just absolutely blanket it. And that's one of the reasons that you see differences over the years in terms of how many people are out actually doing the Christmas bird count. So some years when you have a lot of people, you get a much better coverage of each of the 12 areas. But what you can do is correct for that, because the other thing we do besides counting the birds is how many people, we keep track of how many people were actually bird watching, how many miles did they go, how long were they out there. And so when you start putting those numbers together along with the number of birds, you see a little bit different pattern. So yes, the number of birds may have gone up, but when you correct for the hours birded, you get more of a flat line.
This year was a little tricky because the count was delayed until a weekday. We had far fewer counters. So a couple of years ago, we had 85 or 88 people counting, which is a really good number. And this year, we only had 35. And even those 35, they couldn't dedicate the entire day. I actually took the day off from work to do it. But there was one section where we normally have 4 to 6 people birding, and it was me and one of our Audubon members who works for Boone Electric, and she could only go out for half a day. It was very challenging to cover all of our areas.
So does that make it hard to compare year to year if you have a precipitous decline in the number of birders in, say, 2016 versus 15?
It is. Not only is it the number of observers, but it's also looking at weather patterns and changes, you know, when I think one year we were birding and it was about 17 degrees and all of the water was frozen, which is just really not great for water, except for at Eagle Bluffs where it doesn't really freeze that much. But when the water was totally frozen, you just don't get a lot of the waterfowl. But then conversely, whenever we've had those really warm days in December, which are becoming more and more common, you know, 50, 60 degrees, birds are just not very active on those warmer days in the winter. So there are a lot of factors that go into, you can't just look at it apples to apples.
Well, and that's one of the reasons that that's nice about this bird count, from the standpoint that we've been doing it since the early 60s. And so it is a snapshot. So you can't make huge conclusions if you compare 2015 versus 2016. But you look at trends over time, and these differences in terms of weather and in terms of counters, temperature, and so on, they start to kind of blur away, and you see much more significant trends potentially at that point.
Bill Meese there talking about the factors that influence the Christmas bird count conducted by the Audubon Society annually since 1900. Here, Allison Vaughn recounts some of the notable species that birders saw at the bird count that was held during the last week of 2016 here in Columbia.
One of the counters who was in one of the sections that I was working on, he was really excited that in his area, which is kind of downtown Columbia, it covers Mizzou campus, Grindstone Nature Area, the Hinkson Trail, and he he actually sent me a text in the middle of the count and said, I just got all seven woodpeckers. All seven woodpeckers are across all the different sections, we'll get them, but he got them all in his section, which is pretty neat. Rockbridge's number of redheaded woodpeckers was really high. We're starting to see that annually. I'm actually looking at the drought in 2012 that really knocked back a lot of the white oaks, and so there are a lot of snags. And so the redheads are really keying into that. 42 trumpeter swans were found at Eagle Bluffs. That's huge. That's 2013, the Missouri Bird Conservation Initiative worked with the Governor Nixon, and we had a proclamation on Migratory Bird Day hailing the recovery of the trumpeter swan and pointing to the significance of Missouri's wetlands to the wintering habitat of the trumpeter swans. And so Migratory Bird Day in 2013 was all about the trumpeter swan. And so what we're seeing in just across Missouri, Pershing State Park and a lot of the restoration areas, Swan Lake and Eagle Bluffs, is we're starting to see a lot more trumpeter swans. And it's really a very, I mean, what a great bird to see, you know, especially whenever you see a flock of 42 or 100, it's just a pretty majestic. So that's definitely a positive thing that we're seeing.
How do you avoid double counting birds?
Well, I think that's kind of an impossible thing to do, like very seriously. But you could. I think that one of the challenges of observing is, but it's also something that comes along with being a good birder, is that when you see a flock of 42 trumpeter swans and they're at Eagle Bluffs, and then you see and you're standing in that same area and they fly off, and then they're not going to count them again. And it's just like whenever I was on at Stevens Lake, I hiked the trail and I walked along the edge of the park and then I went to the creek. And then whenever I backtracked, I would see the same birds. And so I wouldn't recount them because I knew, oh, those are my four chickadees that I just saw. And, oh, those are the seven blue jays and things like that. So it's I think it comes with birding experience.
Well, the other thing, too, is if somebody sees 42 trumpeter swans, they're probably staying together. They come and go together. There's protection in numbers as it is. And if an adjoining area sees somebody counts and they report 39 or 40 or something of that nature, trumpeter swans, chances are they're the same birds. They've gotten up and moved for one reason or another. But if they see in an adjoining area, if they see five others, they're probably different ones. And so you kind of have a way of checking some of that.
So if I'm thinking about birding as a hobby, it sounds like something I'd like to get into. I've got two pros here. So give me some pro tips on how did you prepare for that day and how do you prepare for an average day of birding? Do you pack a thermos of coffee? Do you get those hot pads and put them in your gloves? Do you do jumping jacks?
Yeah, all of that. Usually I start out pretty early, and so I will definitely have my coffee. I was out by 7:15 because it was still dark at 7. I hate that about winter, but it's part of it. So I was out around 7:15, and so I had coffee. You dress warmly, definitely put on layers because I didn't know how warm it was actually going to get. And when you're actually outside on these days, even though it's like 40 degrees, which this time of year you want to wear shorts, but and of course when it's 40 degrees in April, you're like, oh, get over it. Layers is definitely key. I didn't think I would need gloves, but when you're out for that long, standing still, wear gloves. In the winter, you've got to have good binoculars.
Yeah, it's nice to have some kind of gloves. A pair of gloves that I wear don't have the fingertips on them. I guess hunters will use these sometimes, but it seems to me that the coldest thing in the entire world are the barrels on a pair of binoculars. they really get cold, and so in terms of focusing, and the birds don't necessarily sit still. Sometimes there's a cooperative bird and they'll sit still, but a lot of times you're seeing this bird and you're focusing as fast as you can so that you can identify it. So you've got to have your fingers nimble, I guess you'd say. Otherwise, you don't dress any differently birding than you would if you were hiking the MKT or bicycling or something of that nature. There's there's no difference there. I tend not to drink a lot of coffee because when you're out birding, there's limited facilities, if you understand what I'm saying.
I will recommend not wearing brightly colored clothes. So neutral color clothes are always better. Certainly not, you know, bright red and...
Not white.
And not white, yeah.
I mean, if you stop and think about it, we dress much as hunters do. We just are hunting with our binoculars. We're not hunting with guns and ammo. But the birds, I mean, they're wild, and they don't know whether we're going to shoot them or whether what kind of a predator we might be. And so we try to dress unobtrusively as possible.
How do you avoid any potential conflict with hunters? Because it's still bow hunting season, right, when the bird count happens?
Well, bow hunters, they have to actually see their prey in order to, and they usually get one shot. I'm not as concerned about bow hunters, but in terms of deer hunters with rifles, I tend not to go into the woods. I stick very close to the parking lots and that sort of thing. If I was going to go into the woods, I'd sure as heck be wearing orange day glows. That is an issue during those seasons, turkey season also.
Is there any overlap between Audubon Society chapter members and people who hunt?
That's something that is very interesting in Missouri, is that some of our best conservationists are actually hunters. They do on-the-ground habitat work to benefit game species. And when they do the habitat benefits to game species, the other suites of non-game species fill in those niches. There are some Audubon members who are also hunters, and a lot of them are some of the best people to identify ducks. In fact, one of my colleagues who always helps out on the Christmas bird count, he knows his ducks and geese so well. He also calls sandhill cranes the flying pot roast, which is just heartbreaking to me because I'm not a game eater.
But it's legal.
It is, I guess. It shouldn't be. I think they're just hugely awesome birds. But there is that overlap. And again, a lot of them, especially with ducks, are some of the best people to identify ducks.
You know, a lot of habitat, and when it comes to birds, and we see this in the Christmas bird count, as habitat changes, so do the birds that require that habitat. And one of the real advantages, one of the reasons we have as many ducks and geese as we do, is because people that hunt ducks and geese have made a considerable effort, along with Audubon, to protect those habitats and to recreate those habitats. And I think Eagle Bluffs is a perfect example of that particular thing, so that what's good for the hunters in many respects is also good for the bird watchers.
I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about the species that you have found over time and what you expect, and maybe some surprises this year.
I think in terms of surprises this year, and I haven't seen all of the data, but it seems like we didn't see as many sparrows as we have in the past. Many of the Audubon members bird week in and week out, not just on the Christmas bird count, but it seems like we haven't been seeing as many American tree sparrows, which are usually ubiquitous, and this year... it just seems like there haven't been as many. But again, that can be a result of habitat changes because that's a grassland sort of a bird.
The other real shocker for this year was that we only had two snow geese for the entire count, and they were in two separate sections. The people who birded Eagle Bluffs were really kind of confused by that. Folks who have a long history of birding in Colombia or were just also kind of flummoxed by that. And one of the snow geese that we had was actually at a feeder.
That was Colombia resident Allison Vaughn, who along with Bill Meese and a couple dozen other bird watchers participated in the annual Christmas bird count at multiple locations around Boone County throughout the day on December 22nd, 2016. The top species counted that day included some 8,700 mallards, over 5,300 Canada geese, and just over 3,500 European starlings. For more information about the Columbia Audubon Society, you can visit their website, columbia-audubon.org.